Hello and welcome, Blue Jay fans, to episode 42 of Section 138, Weekly Blue Jay Podcast. I'm Mark Cauley, your host, and as always, I'm joined by Bryson from Everything Blue Jays. How are you, Bryson?
I am good. How are you?
I'm doing well. There's not much point in asking that question since, we always have the same answers to it. But I'm happy it's at least a little bit warmer now. It's shorts weather. I can finally wear my shorts and not be stuck in pants all day. But today, we don't actually have all that much related to current events with the Blue Jays to talk about, mainly because, things have been going steadily for the past week. We haven't had any big trades or anything, but we do have some check-ins that we want to do with how the Blue Jays are doing so far. Our thoughts on Charlie Montoyo, our thoughts on the rebuild in general, along with our thoughts on Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins and how they're doing so far in their time with the Blue Jays, because I think a lot of people are interested in our opinions about that, as I am in your opinion and other people's opinions on that. But we'll also touch on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Of course, he's almost up in the majors. He's in AAA now, rehabbing, or quote-unquote rehabbing, binding his service time. And then Freddie Galvis also, because he's killing it in the majors. So we'll discuss all of those. I guess we can start with Galvis because it's quick, but he just hit a home run. We're recording this on Sunday, April 14th, and he just hit a home run in the Blue Jays game against the Tampa Bay Rays. And that's his fifth home run this season in just 55 plate appearances. So really, that's one home run for 11 plate appearances. And if you think about it, like, one home run in 15 at-bats is really good. But when you look at plate appearances, one in 11, it's insane. He's just, of all the Blue Jays this season, he has obviously been the best hitter.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, Freddie Galvis, probably one of the biggest surprises this season for the Jays offense. When he was signed in the offseason, or even, his reputation as a player, he's not always, he's not known always to be like the best hitter on the team. His original purpose was to come in, as for his defense, and for someone, he's played 162 games for the past two seasons. He has a ton of experience, over 8 years of experience. And again, almost a thousand games, a few hundred short. But again, Galvis, he's been the best hitter on the Jays pretty much by a landslide. He's appeared in, the most games. He's almost at 10 RBIs now, or maybe he is, as the stats haven't refreshed from, again, the day he hit the home run. So he's around 10 RBIs, multiple home runs already. He just seems very comfortable at the plate, and obviously, this can't, go on for the rest of the season or, at this pace, but the better he plays, the more, I guess, it could increase the chance of, the Jays possibly looking to get something for him at the deadline, or maybe they hold on to him, continue to be like a mentor to the youth, because, again, that's also what he's known for. He's supposedly a great leader in the clubhouse, and, again, going back to Galvis, he's got an OPS above 1,000, and, definitely a very small sample size, but these numbers are inflated by a ton compared to his previous seven seasons. So I've really enjoyed Freddie Galvis. I thought it was a good signing since the day they did it. And again, he's a player to root for. He's quickly a likable player. And the purpose of his signing was to be, for his defense. But the better he plays, the more he's going to play. So it's good to see the Jays, maybe moving him around shortstop. Maybe he's played a game or two this year at second base, but it's majority been shortstop. And I just think, that he's really, really hot. And there shouldn't be pretty much any intentions of taking him out. He's still got that hitting streak going, or that the game streak he's going at. It's been going on for the past two seasons. So that's also something that's pretty cool to have a little bit of an Iron Man streak going. But, other than that, everyone knows he's been the best here by a ton. And, obviously we're expecting him to cool down. But if he, in terms of his past stats, these are pretty much a remarkable start to a season. So It'll be interesting to see, you know, how much he can keep it up, and if the Jays decide to move on from him at the deadline, or maybe even keep him around. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, overall, this is great news for the Blue Jays because not only, as you mentioned, it's not only about the performance on the field, it's about what the Blue Jays are going to get for him if they do decide to trade him eventually in a handful of months. So it's great to see him. And obviously, he does have an amazing level of consistency in the majors. You know, in the past 2 seasons, 2017 and 2018, he's played 162 games in both of those seasons. So he has a very long active game streak. He's played in a lot of games consecutively. And then before that, even in 2015 and 2016, in 2015, he played in 151 games, 2016, 158. So really, he is an Iron Man of sorts. As you mentioned, he's very consistent. It's just we haven't seen him play this well before. And of course, it's only 15 games, very small sample size, 55 plate appearances, as I said earlier. But it's really encouraging to see the Blue Jays getting this type of quality out of him, so that they can trade him at the trade deadline, or you know, hold on to him until 2020. And his contract expires after 2020. So honestly, I expect the Blue Jays to trade him simply because he's only signed on for one more year, and they'll get more worth out of him as a player if they do trade him. But honestly, whatever happens, I'm happy. He's doing amazing, and if things continue the way they are now, or obviously a lesser degree of what's happening now, I'll be incredibly happy with the Blue Jays signing of him. But that's pretty brief, pretty self-explanatory. I think we're both pretty pumped about that. But then Vladimir Guerrero Jr. also, he is almost up in the majors. He's in AAA. He's already hitting. He had an off day yesterday, but he hit a home run on Friday night, which was his AAA debut, I believe, or debut this season. He had a home run. He also had another hit or a walk. He's been doing really well. I mean, what else would we expect from Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? But it's exciting to see him finally coming up. And I just want to ask you, when do you think we're going to see him in the majors, actually? Because of course, his service time limitations have expired. The Blue Jays can bring him up now and get that extra year of service time, as so many people have been concerned about. So they're not stopped from bringing him up because of service time considerations now. Now it's solely because of, you know, his injury and getting him developed enough in the majors. So, how many days do you think he'll spend in AAA before he comes up to the majors?
Well, you know, by the looks of what we've been seeing from Guerrero since Friday, he's absolutely, you know, dominating AAA. He doesn't even, in a good way, he doesn't belong there. It's just it's like, you know, his home run on Friday, I'm sure everybody saw it. He pretty much killed the ball. And today even he went 3 for 3 in his or sorry, 3 hits today in another rehab game, and he's hitting .556 in, you know, those few games he's played. So again, the service day date is over with. They get a seventh year of control from him. So again, like you said, a matter of time and when he will be called up. We know that, you know, since the coast is clear with the service time date, you know, Ross Atkinson, Mark Shapiro can finally admit that they're gonna call him up when he's healthy, which everyone knew what the original plan was. So I believe they said they want to get him, you know, playing on a consistent basis. So I'm thinking maybe, you know, if you really want to think about him again, there's no rush for him just because the Jays aren't going, you know, they're not in, again, they're not a contending team, but you know, fans desperately want to see him. So I guess maybe there's that pressure. But maybe I'm thinking within the next week or two, just maybe closer to the end of April, just because if they want to play him on a consistent basis, they got to get him in consecutive games. And he played Friday, he sat yesterday, he's playing again today. So I guess they want to have the idea or get him back in the routine. And but yeah, again, he doesn't look like he's slowed down since, you know, he's played in his rehab games. Maybe in Dunedin he didn't light it up the way he's been lighting it up in Buffalo, but I guess it's a lot better the way he's been hitting in Buffalo, which is a lot more positive. And you know, the interesting thing though, I'm curious about, even though this is really pushing it here, Lourdes Gurriel today, or even this whole season, he's been struggling defensively. And today, the day we record on the Sunday, He was actually benched in today's game due to a careless throwing error from second base, and he was replaced in like the third or fourth inning. So, you know, even if you want to get really, really, or, you know, really want to get hypothetical, you know, maybe the possibility of Gurriel going down and bringing Vladdy up soon, or even, you know, as early as the next few days is, I guess, is a possibility. But I'm more on the side of getting Gurriel a few more games and maybe another week, just because, again, I don't think there's a rush. But, you know, if the Jays really, I guess it's a possibility, but I just, you know, I just kind of thought about it. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I'm thinking at least another week.
Yeah, I think definitely at least another week. I think the idea of sending Gurriel down and bringing Guerrero up, I think that's a little too conspiratorial for me. I don't think that's going to happen. Obviously, it's possible, and I mean, you could probably have Drury fill in at second base, or have Galvis move to second base, Drury move to shortstop. You could fit things around keeping Guerrero at third base, but I don't think they would ever want to move Guerrero from third base, because that's where he's used to playing. You know, maybe he sees some time this year at first base, but I think most of the time it's going to be third base and designated hitter. So certainly Guerrero won't be filling in for Gurriel at second base or shortstop, but I think you could move the pieces around to get him at to make room for him at third base. But again, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Blue Jays are going to try to get the most logical, perfect fitting for him to come up, and I don't think that is the perfect fitting for him to come up. But looking at the schedule, you said you projected a week or more. I've heard a lot of people talking about bringing him up for the Blue Jays series against the Angels in Anaheim on April 30th. That's the first date of the series, although that's about 2 weeks. 2 weeks and 2 days from now, I guess, or 3 days from now. I think that's a bit too forward. I think that's a bit too much time to bring him up for, because that's 2 weeks in AAA when he already spent the majority of last season or a good portion of last season in AAA, and really seeing him spend that much time in AAA it's just kind of useless to me, honestly. It's he could be playing at the same caliber in the majors, so keeping him down just doesn't make sense to me. But comparing this to the Bison's schedule, yes, on the 29th of April, the Bisons have a doubleheader against the Pawtucket Red Sox, I believe it is. So I don't think the Blue Jays are going to keep Guerrero down for that doubleheader. So that is a deadline, I think, that they'll bring him up by the April 29th. But honestly, you know, the Bisons, they have another doubleheader actually on this April 20th, which is this Saturday. So I think the Blue Jays will keep him down for that doubleheader. And then the Bisons have an off day on the 21st, which is a week from today. And I think the Blue Jays will bring him up on the 21st to get ready for the 23rd, which is the next Blue Jay game against the San Francisco Giants. So that's my projection. I'm really hoping that they do that, because I'm going to Tuesday's game against the San Francisco Giants. Of course, Kevin Pillar is going to be there as part of the Giants visiting Rogers Center, but that's my projection for when the Blue Jays will bring him up.
Yeah, I've also heard a lot about the April 30th deadline as well. If it goes, you know, that seems to be more of like, again, it's for the people saying that, and you brought up a good point, it's more of kind of like a safe deadline, just because you'd figure that it can't go anywhere past that. It's got to be before the end of April. And again, I think there's, like, I really think now, like, the service day thing is done. He's clearly healthy. By the way he's been playing, he's absolutely destroying AAA pitching right now. You know, it just, I don't think there's a point of it right now. Like, maybe another few days, but again, I kind of agree with you on how, you know, April 30th, as much as it's a safe idea or target date, I just think, you know, why not get him up for a few games earlier, right? And like you said, they're in Anaheim at the end of the month, and again, there's been lots of talk about that, but it would be cool. Like, next week they're on the road, they're in Minnesota, then they go to Oakland, so they're going through the West Coast, and then they come back for the Giants series. So, like, hopefully around there, at least after their road trip, like, I just, you know, it's the team they have now too. It's been kind of hard watching a little bit. You know, they're 5-10 the day we're recording, and you know, I just think, you know, the sooner they really got to consider bringing it up really pretty soon, just to give the fans, again, we've spoken about this many times, to give something to watch, just because again, the Jays have gone off to a horrific start. They're in tied with last or near last with the Red Sox, who've also gone off to a terrible start. So it's just something to look forward to. And again, the sooner the better. But as far as his play, he's clearly healthy. He's clearly hitting the ball well. And he probably himself just wants to get the heck out of AAA or even Buffalo. I guess it's the way he's playing, it's way too easy for him. That's pretty much what he's pretty much showing all of us.
Exactly. And I think if the Blue Jays don't bring him up by that, as I keep saying, the 23rd against the Giants, or even, like the 26th against the Athletics, which is at home, I think they probably want to debut him at home. I think that's, if you have the chance to do that, you do that because it's a nice thing to do. And it's nice for both Guerrero and for the team for attendance wise. So I think they will try to debut him at home, and that leaves that 2-game series against the Giants or that 3-game series against the Athletics to bring him up. And really, if you wait for the games in Anaheim against the Angels, you don't have a chance to have him at home playing at the Rogers Center until May 6th, which is against the Twins, a 3-game series against the Twins. So again, I think schedule-wise, it works out really nicely to bring him up on that 23rd, April 23rd against the Giants. But by next podcast or the podcast after that, we'll have an answer to this as to when the Blue Jays bring him up. And hopefully our projections are right. But moving on, so far this season, there's been a lot of talk about Charlie Montoyo. Obviously, we just came out of that series in Boston where you had Alex Cora and Charlie Montoyo, two managers from Puerto Rico, playing teams against each other, which was a historic first. But there's been a lot of talks also about how Charlie Montoyo is handling this team and how he's managing this team. And a lot of people have different opinions about this. So I think we should just check in, discuss our own opinions about this, and talk about how he is managing this team. So right off the bat, what are your thoughts?
When it comes to Charlie Montoyo, some of the things I like the way he manages some areas, and then obviously a few areas is a little bit questionable. And I think one of the biggest areas that is questionable, I think the way he, sometimes the way he uses the bullpen could be a little bit questionable. You even said few weeks ago after, the home opener, how you thought, they should have left Giles in for another inning. It's kind of like these what ifs, and maybe the pitching, the usage, or even like the selection of the bullpen. I know they don't have much to choose from right now, but there's been a few times this season where he's kind of been burned with some of his decisions. And even a few days ago, there was, or it might have been, yeah, I think it was on Friday. It was a few days ago. There was a play at third with Freddy Galvis, and I don't think the play was reviewed. And then pretty much after the game, I guess he Montoyo owned up to it and said how he screwed up, and he should have looked into that. And the things I do like about what Montoyo's doing, I kind of like the way he, the lineup he creates. I think how he's kind of rotating people in here and there, getting people games in early. That's kind of the idea of that was his idea to start this season. I kind of like how they were doing that. They were kind of getting an idea and who's where everybody's at. I also, as much as it was tough to see Gurriel get benched today, I thought it was a really good, I like the move that Montoyo did. Now, I don't think a demotion, we spoke about this a little bit earlier, but I don't think it's possible he gets, Gurriel gets demoted, but I think Montoyo sending a message there could be enough, a little bit of a wake-up call. But again, Montoyo is going to be up and down. He's a rookie manager, even though he's been around the game for years, and even around the minor leagues, and even the past few seasons at the major league level, but not as a manager, obviously. I just think he's going to go through rookie mistakes as well. We saw last year early in the season, managers like Gabe Kepler in Philly, and even Alex Cora for a little bit in Boston, they were getting criticized like crazy. And look at the as much as the Red Sox were dominant all season, Alex Cora was a huge voice for them, and he seems like a likable guy. He's also Puerto Rican as well. So I just think, it's going to take time for Montoyo to continue to get familiar with the game. But as a rookie manager, you kind of expect some of this stuff to happen where he makes certain changes or decisions where you kind of scratch your head at and then say, what was the reasoning for that? And then, majority of the time that's happened this season, it hasn't worked out in the Jays' favor. So it's not like he's been taking risky moves and it's been kind of paying off. pretty much the controversial decisions he's made this year. He's kind of been burning them a few times. I just think the bullpen usage is something that he's got to work on, and I think maybe as the bullpen gets healthier, as you know, people like Ryan Tepera, he's close. You know, maybe when they continue to get healthier, he'll kind of manage it a little better. It's also a little tough too in the bullpen with I'll point him out, Elvis Luciano. You know, they don't want to pitch him really in high leverage situations, only in low leverage. So I kind of think his hands are tied with that one. So I just think the whole bullpen, you know, we saw this kind of fall apart the last week of the spring. I think that's had a little bit of an impact. You know, it's been very difficult, but I think Montoyo, you know, he needs to improve in that spot. But when it comes to like lineup changes, I think, you know, I like the idea of what he's doing there. Maybe I'm trying to remember it. With the lineup, I think he's doing fine with the lineup. I think he's a great voice. I think he's a likable guy. He seems like a likable guy. The players seem like that they like him. Again, it's a rookie manager. It's going to be rookie mistakes, but you know, you expect him to get better throughout the season. And you know, it's April, what, April 14th. It's been a few weeks now, so hopefully by the summer, you know, these issues are kind of cleaned up. But you know, I give the guy credit for trying different things as well. Another thing to point out too, I kind of like the shifts that they're making, the approaches they're making, but the biggest area of improvement would have to be the bullpen.
I agree. I think the way he has handled the bullpen so far is questionable. And as you mentioned, you know, a handful of podcasts ago, we were discussing his choice to, was it, or put Daniel Hudson in over Ken Giles in that 10th inning, I believe it was, in one of the first games. It may have been the opener. So I think his handling of the bullpen is questionable, and it's valid to question his decisions. But it should also be considered that, you know, not all of this is his fault. He hasn't been given a lot to work with because he obviously is coming in to manage a team that had a horrible record last season, is in the middle of a rebuilding time period. And, you know, so far this season has a 5-10 record. Like, it's not his fault. We were expected to be bad. And his goal is to really, in my opinion, not develop the quality on the field, but develop the quality in the clubhouse and make the team better in that sense and prepare for the years ahead. And that's another point I want to get to. In that regard, I think he's done well. You know, I'm thinking about Pillar when he was traded. You know, he went to the Giants, and in the clubhouse, I think it was after his first game. They won their first game, or maybe it was the second game. Anyways, after they won, he was speaking to reporters, and he said that the way that they celebrated a win in the clubhouse, the Giants did, you know, a win in the clubhouse afterwards, was something that he had, I think he said he had never experienced something like that in his major league career before. And he said it was just awesome. Which is concerning for the Blue Jays, because if you go to a new team in the first game, you experience something amazing that you never experienced with the team. I think he also said some other comments that indicate that it wasn't always an amazing time with the Blue Jays. You know, even in those championship seasons, sometimes the clubhouse was contentious. And obviously, we had heard a little bit about veteran influence in the clubhouse before. But I think knowing that and knowing the flaws that were in the Blue Jays clubhouse, you know, they weren't big, but there were flaws in the Blue Jays clubhouse before. Knowing those, I think Charlie Montoyo is doing a good job to make this year the clubhouse more relaxed, the team more loose with each other, and more comfortable with everyone and comfortable on the field.
Again, with Montoyo's new approach, obviously, Pilar barely spent any time with him. I guess he spent the spring with him, but you know, in terms of the regular season, it was about 4 or 5 games he played. And you know, hearing Pilar's comments, I guess it is a little bit concerning, but the only thing you can wonder is, again, you brought it up, the championship seasons. You know, I just thought that, you know, 2015 was probably one of the most exciting seasons as a Jays fan, obviously in my lifetime and probably in your lifetime as well. You know, I thought that was the year they could have done it. You know, even the buzz around the team, the city, when they clinched the AL East, when they won the ALDS, so on and so on, all the celebrations they had in the clubhouse. I guess it's kind of a little bit weird how he didn't really, you know, he's saying that he's never really experienced it before, but I guess, you know, winning a game in April seems a little bit more exciting for him, which is fine. But the other thing too for Pilar, you know, he's, I guess, you know, you kind of feel, you can put yourself in his shoes. You know, he's kind of said it, right? Other than the Jays, he's really known nothing. And, you know, I guess the new change of scenery, a change of scenery sometimes for everybody is nice. And I guess to see kind of a different environment for him is, it was probably amusing for him, and, you know, something that, again, he's clearly said he wasn't used to. So I thought that was a little, I think that's a little bit odd that he said that, but I guess you can understand you know, as much as he loved Toronto and he's always going to call Toronto home, the excitement, you know, to playing in his home state of California, which is definitely not a lose-lose for him. It's, you know, it's, he's closing a chapter where pretty much a team that gave him a chance, and then he's moving on to another team. And, you know, with San Fran, I've seen, you know, he's playing quite well. Yesterday he was, I think he was batting cleanup for them, and he's put up over 10 RBIs already. So it's good to see him succeed a little. I know he's made a diving catch in center field as well. I've seen there was a video of it. So, you know, it's good to see Kevin Pillar, you know, I guess enjoy his time in San Fran. As Jays fans, we can wish him the best. There's nothing against him at all. And he was one of the main pieces of their playoff runs. So, but in terms of the Montoyo approach, again, the fact that he's changing things up, we even saw, as much as it was a weird topic and topic that, you know, some people thought we shouldn't have brought up, that, you know, the Fortnite rule, I guess that would have been a little weird to be around, you know, the past couple seasons. I guess you can understand where he's coming from, just because of how 2017, you know, the team was supposed to be good, maybe not as good as 2016, but the team fell off pretty hard. You know, they were never 500. And then 2018, they really took a nosedive down. So they've been pretty much rock bottom for the past few years. And the rock bottom this year as well, you know, at least they're going to be trending upwards now with their future. But I guess you can understand. And I guess you can understand as well, you know, Montoyo's effort to creating a better environment. And I think that's a huge, huge need, especially for a team that went from so full of veterans to so young, with, you know, veterans getting traded multiple times this season already.
Exactly, and I'm glad you brought up the Fortnite thing, because I just think it's really funny. But obviously, we talked about that before, and I think if it was a problem with the team before, as it was, I guess, with Russell Martin last season, you know, yeah, try anything that helps, and if this helps, great. I think Montoyo's handling of the clubhouse so far, obviously it's been 15 games, we can't say that much about it, but so far I have appreciated the way he's handled things behind the scenes, not so much on the field as we've talked about with the bullpen, and you mentioned changing the lineup around. I'm not that big a fan of it. I was for the first few games, but really now it's like every day he seems to be trying something different, and really even when the Blue Jays win and something works, he doesn't go back to it, which I disagree with. It's not a big deal or anything. It's just something I disagree with on a small scale. Moving forward, briefly, we can touch on our thoughts on Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins, basically just the job they're doing as the Blue Jays are rebuilding. And to make it clear, I'll just state my opinion up front. I don't think we can judge the job they're doing yet, because it is 2019. The Blue Jays won't be competing until 2021. We don't know the quality of that team. We don't know if they will be competing in 2021 or if it'll be later on. We don't know so many things, and we can't predict it yet. I just am so in the dark on this, I guess is a good way to put it, that I can't say how they're doing, but so far I think they're doing a good job. You know, so far from what we've seen, they have done a good job, but it's just a total unknown for me.
Yeah, I think you nailed it right there. I think as much as they're getting all the hate now, and you know, people think, you know, they deserve a lot of the hate, and how they tore the team down, but you know, as you think about it, the whole idea of this is it's a long-term goal. And, you know, Ross Atkins even said, we've touched on it many times, 2021 or even late 2020, in that span is when they should be competitive again. And I think that's when they deserve the real kind of, I guess, grade you'd give them for how they handled everything. You know, the way it looks now, it's awful. You know, they really tore down their team quite a bit from 2017. Like I said, all the veterans they had, and you know, now they're pretty much everybody on that team is young. But the thing that, you know, I like the way they've been drafting the past few seasons. I think the way they've been restocking or rebuilding the farm system itself is a huge, huge improvement or a huge step forward for their rebuild. You know, their farm system's what, like top three or top five in the major leagues right now. So I think As much as the short-term goal may look terrible right now, I think the long-term goal, it looks bright. I think the future looks bright. We've heard about Guerrero, we've heard about Bichette, we've heard about Biggio, and there's many more names on the way, even who are s names in st that are still in like rookie ball or even low A. So I just think the way they've been handling the youth has been great, and as much as filling some roster spots for even this season, again, signing veterans like Freddy Galvis, I've been a fan of. I said it the day they signed him, I've been a fan of it. And the way he's playing now, they could be getting possibly mid to decent level prospects for him. Even people like Clay Buchholz, if he had a great start yesterday in his debut, or the Saturday when April what 13th. And if he pitches well, he could be another one that could be traded. And I just think these kind of veterans that he's taking chances on, I like the way they've been kind of filling the roster spots like that. And another name would be Shoemaker, who's also gone off to a good start. And I like the idea. I like how they extended Grichuk this season. I think that was needed just because of the uncertainty of the team and who else is out, who else is coming in, who's still developing the minor league system. But as much as they get all of the hate, I just. A part of me still feels like how, they're pretty much a scapegoat for the mess of a farm system that Alex Anthopoulos made. Now, what Alex Anthopoulos made in 2015 was, we know the risks he made. It definitely helped. I guess it created that playoff push, or the little short window the Jays had. But whenever you can look at it a few years ago, and you could have known that the Jays were, a rebuild was coming. It was something that was always at the back of my mind. And I'm sure it was back at your mind too. The seasons where Encarnacion's contract was expiring, Bautista was on the fence of leaving. He wanted $150 million, and it just seems like that was 1,000 years ago, and it was only a couple years ago. So I think all the moves they made then is a huge reason for their hate now, because pretty much what Shapiro and Atkins have been doing for the past few years is they've been pretty much just restocking the farm system that was depleted from 2015 or even past trades that Alex Anthopoulos made. So I think the next few years will tell. And if the rebuild doesn't work out, I think they deserve all the hate in the world, obviously. But I do think we should give them a chance, and I do think that there's a huge, huge step forward and bright future. If all goes well with the amount of prospects the Jays are loading up with, and how they've restocked the farm system. So I just think, again, it's hard to judge them now, but I mean, a lot of fans do it anyway. We all know the reactions they get. We all know the reputation in Toronto. But it'll be interesting to see if somehow the Jays, or if the Jays, the rebuild pays off, and they're what, somewhat competitive or even competitive in the next few years. It'll be hilarious to see all the fans that turn back on their side, who were against them since pretty much the day they were hired. So.
The only thing I want to add to that, and I'm glad you brought up Alex Anthopoulos, because if the Blue Jay fans are looking for someone to blame over this current situation, I think if anyone, you have to peg it on Alex Anthopoulos because of the trades he made and the big signings he made. Looking at Russell Martin trading for Troy Tulowitzki and LaTroy Hawkins, and obviously David Price. I think you have to look at those deals to find the source of where the Blue Jays are right now. But even so, if you want to blame Alex Anthopoulos, don't, because he put the Blue Jays into the postseason in 2015 and 2016. So I think that the sacrifice that Alex Anthopoulos made of prospects and of money in those primitive years was well worth the 2 years in the postseason, and even now the struggle that's happening now. And really, Mark Spiro and Ross Atkins are just cleaning up and starting again, and recovering from those 2 winning years. But overall, I think it's totally worth it. And as we've said, we can't judge the job that they're doing now. But as you said, they deserve all the hate in the world if they screw up and if they do a bad job of this. But right now, I think they're laying the ground blocks well. But we'll see what comes out of it in the next few years. But that wraps up all our talks for today. Again, not much news, but at least some check-ins that we could do on the job that some Blue Jay personnel are doing so far this season. So thank you for everyone who listened. Thank you to Bryson from Everything Blue Jays for joining me today. I'm Mark Cauley, the host of Section 138. Thank you for listening.